Holly Cotton here, and you guys know I am all about the female empowerment. I love the men, but when I get someone in my presence that is doing things to help women make us soar, educate us on things that we probably don't know about, or maybe we know a little bit, or maybe we know the wrong information for, you know, I got to get her on my show so that I can share the knowledge with all of my viewers and listeners. So today I am so excited to have Miss Terry Ho on, and Terry is actually a certified divorce financial analyst. And she also, if you guys follow her on Instagram, which you guys will after this, she's also a huge fashionista. I always am very inspired by her outfits, as well as not only that, but Terry has a huge heart and she does a lot for the community. They do a lot of community education. She also gives a lot of free resources to help women that are single, going through a divorce, getting out of a bad relationship, whatever it is. We're going to get your money right today with Terry. So welcome, Terry.
Dang, that list of accolades. Who's that? Is that me? You really sometimes forget the things you do until someone else reads out your own bio, because you're always in the trenches. But yes, thank you so much for that incredible introduction. I'm excited to be here and share my wisdom with everyone else out there.
Awesome. Awesome. So, you know, I love free stuff, so I'm going to get some free advice for the listeners.
Well, I'm Asian. You know, we like those discounts.
Right? I love it. I love it. So before we go into some of the common questions, some of the things that you are educating people on, Terry, can you go back and rewind to us? Because I know this wasn't always what you planned on as being in the finance world. You kind of started off on a different path, and then you were like, wait a minute, there's obviously some type of disparity between the knowledge that women have or what's going on. So how did you decide that this is what you were going to specialize in?
So certified divorce financial analyst, CDFA, let me kind of share with you guys what that role actually entails. That role is kind of where I work with my clients, but then also with their attorney when they're going through divorce regarding the financial matters of the divorce. You know, a lot of times, you know, the attorneys, they go there, they take charge and they know the legal stuff, but at the end of the day, we're splitting money. So you really want someone that is kind of more in that industry to kind of help navigate the divorce for you. What I initially started was with just being in the financial industry in general, just educating individuals, mostly women, honestly, that's the clientele that I attract, just on their own finances, you know, how to leave a legacy, how much do I need to save? What should I be saving for? Do I have enough money for retirement? And where that inspired me is that growing up with, I'm first generation. So I grew up with a mom that was a single mom. My mom escaped during the Vietnam War. She was looking to have a better life and start over when she came to the U.S. She met my father. She had me. She had my brother. She thought she was like living the American dream. But I later found out that it was actually quite the opposite. Her marriage wasn't a fairy tale story. And so she was struggling to leave the marriage. And when she finally did, we struggled financially, physically, and it was just really hard to make ends meet. I remember times when like we would be sitting in our apartment and the electricity went out because we didn't pay the bill. And from that, I saw her enter the entrepreneurial world and just work her butt off. But we never talked about money at the dinner table. She just made it happen. And so watching her is what kind of inspired me to be like, okay, I don't want to live like that. I want to educate. I want to educate my kids. I want them to understand how a dollar is made, how it's spent, and how you can actually make it work for you. So that's what got me into the financial industry. Now, going back to tie that story together, watching my mom go through that traumatic divorce, it was just heartbreaking because there was no resource. I mean, there could be resources, but it was very little resources. So it was hard for us to actually manage, like, how do we even go through a divorce? What should we expect? What should we be getting? What should we be asking the courts for? So that together, and then just from my clientele's women that are going through divorce, that's what brought me here today to actually fit in this role. And this role is, it's very few people know about this niche, but it is there.
So whenever you go back and tell us about when you, I guess like the first time that you had, I know obviously we can't talk about the specifics of it, but the first time and you were, because I know for me, I always go back to maybe the first time I did this and that's when it ignited something in me, or the first time I helped someone do this, I was like, oh shoot, I want to do more of that. So go back to at the very beginning, whenever you had your first divorcee and you were there, kind of give us an idea of where you sort of said, this is what I need to be doing. This is how I want to do it. You know what? I want no other woman to go through this. What was it that got you fueled up where this is what you're actually going to do?
So yes, of course, the story of my mom, but I think that when I started getting a lot of women and some of the, a great number of them were either finalized or divorced. I did get this one client who was actually hasn't filed divorce yet. She's about to go through the divorce. And I remember her just the impact that it had on her, like emotionally, you know, because this is not an easy, it's not easy for anyone to go through this, especially you've spent 10 years of your lives with somebody. And having to start over, all those things flash before your mind. You're like, how do I start over? I've been staying home. I've been taking care of the kids. Where do I get income? How much should I be getting? You know, just hearing that story and then relating it to my own story with my mom and actually going through that process with her from start to finish is what made me be like, that's it. This is what I want to do. This is where God put me on this earth, is to do this role right here and help others. And it's just really empowering because you start off with them and they just feel broken. But then as you go through and you educate them on the certain assets they have, their finances, you see this light in their eye and they just get more empowered. So that's what I was like, that's it. This is my calling card. And I like to look at puzzle pieces. I like to figure stuff out.
Analyst. Yes, we got it. Right. So let me ask you this, because I know whenever people hear that you are a certified divorce financial analyst and you're doing this and people hear divorce, so they already are thinking, well, she's trying to break up marriages, or, well, why is she trying to promote divorcees? Because she's married now and she's got a little man now, and so people are like, well, I want to stay happily married or whatever, you know. There's always some type of negative feedback for whenever you say divorce, like, well, you're trying to make people get divorced. So can you just go in and sort of clarify what exactly, I know you said you work with the divorce attorneys, but what is it that you want to do for a client? If I'm married right now, do I have to already be looking for a divorce, or can I come to you and be like, hey, what should I be doing now? Because you also do the financial planning. So can you kind of just go into a little bit more? Because I don't want anybody to think you out here breaking up marriages. She's not, you guys. She's just trying to help us.
That's right. That's a good way to put it, Holly, and a great question. So there's two folds to my role. First, of course, if you're going through a divorce, I help you and your attorney. But then also the biggest one, I think, and the most important is after the divorce, actually educating you on your finances. How can we live off the income that you're getting? How can we live off the asset? I want to empower them by just education. I think financial literacy is lacking in our school system. I think I remember, I'm going to go off topic, but I'll come back. I remember going through high school and they had like a representative from a bank that came in that was like, hey, you're about to go to college. You can get a credit card, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, thinking back, I'm like, that's a horrible idea. That's just like starting, like, this is why there's so much debt. So yes, I do get the negative side. I do have people that ask me this question, but this is where I always add this in. I'm not an advocate for divorce. I wholeheartedly believe in marriage and also happily ever after. I believe working it through, all the above. But if you're in a situation where your life is threatened, or maybe it's infidelity, or maybe you're actually getting physically hurt, I want you to know that there's resources. that you don't have to stay in that situation, that you can get out of it and you have options. So that's why I'm in this industry. So, and of course, if you're not going through divorce, I still help out individuals with their financial planning. Of course, I'm a huge advocate for it.
So let me ask you this, Terry. If I'm married right now and I'm happy, but maybe I hear this show and I'm like side-eyeing my husband, like, what if we ever fall apart? What if we break up? So whenever you are talking to women and we're in a relationship, happily married, whatever, cohabitating, combined income, whatever it is that whatever your situationship is that you're in, and you want to pass on some information to women of what we should be doing right now to protect ourselves in case this relationship ends, what are some of the things that you recommend to women? Like, hey, I'm not telling you to leave your man, but let me help you if you need an exit strategy. Make sure these are some things that you're doing.
You know, well, it depends. So men are going to dislike this and women may not even like the answer I'm about to give them. But if we're really being transparent, the biggest thing that women can do for themselves is just be financially literate. Just do it. Because like at the end of the day, if you're incapable of working and maybe your husband is, you're at home taking care of the children, that's fine. That's a role. That's a very hard role to do. But at least have an idea of what your finances are. What are the household finances? Okay, know what's going in and out. What is your husband making? Like what, you know those little just like foundational things such as, okay. And the other thing I always say is like, you know, you go into a marriage hoping everything's great, but it's just life. And then as far as like the stats for divorce, I mean, it's 40 to 50%. That's a high number. So I think the best thing you can do is in a marriage, you should always have one joint account, one savings account, but then also have individual accounts. Have your own individual savings, have your own individual checking. Nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with that. Just having your own funds and knowing where everything is and just, you know, that's really my best advice to give anybody that asks me that.
And I will tell you too, because I was married for 20 years. So I got married very young and because, you know, I'm just 20 right now. So, but
what? Me too, sis. Me too.
That far. So whenever I remember we split up before we ever got a divorce. And I remember the hardest thing was the whole taking things that were joint accounts and joint things and now splitting them up. So I remember us having a joint checking account, and then now I had to go to an individual checking account, and we had bills that were joint. And I know that a lawyer kind of goes in and they just divide everything in a certain way. But when you come in, how can you help me as a person? Like, I'm calling you right now and I just separated from my man. So, cause I wish I had a Terry back in the day. And I was like, Holly, let me tell you what you need to do today. So I'm coming to you and I'm like, Terry, I'm about to leave him or I left him today. What would you give me as the first things to do either right before I leave or as soon as I leave to kind of help me to make sure I'm not going to end up somewhere that I shouldn't be and I'm in the poorhouse now?
Yeah. So great question. So it depends to a different scenario. So the first thing I say is, do you have money? Do you have your own money? And if you don't have your own money set aside, we got to find money before you make a move. I don't care, unless it's a situation where your life, like I said, it varies. If your life is being threatened, that's a little different. But if this is something you see it coming and you know it's about to happen, preparation is key. And you know, I hate to say this, but this is a line that my mentor said, and it's so true. Women plan out their marriages, men plan out their divorces. So if a man can plan out divorce, and if you know that's going to end that way, the first thing to do is, do I have money? Because getting a lawyer costs money, going anywhere costs money. And if you don't have that, I hate saying this, but I'm going to say it, What I recommend doing is one, you can first go get a credit card. I'm against credit card unless it's for leveraging to get more money to open a business. But I would go get a credit card using the household income. That's the thing. Because even though you're not divorced yet, you can apply for one and have the income that the household makes and get some kind of credit just to kind of keep you afloat. Okay. That's if you have to get out right away. Now, if you have time, you got to stash money away. You have to stash because that's the key to get out. Now, are there other resources for people that can't do other or their life is threatened? Absolutely. There's a lot of resources out there, and I can share some of that with you, Holly, that you can share with your viewers or listeners. That's the first step. The second step is, depending on your significant other, what state of mind he's in, I would change passwords. Passwords to your email address or create a totally different email address. Because, you know, sometimes when you get married, you love each other, you have each other's password, you know, things like that. Okay. I have my husband, he has mine. So I get it. But make a different email address or password and then go. And if you don't have a bank account, go open a different bank account at a different bank than where you usually bank. That's only in your name. And when you apply for that credit card, don't send it to the address that's your house. Use a different address.
Let me tell you, whoever the next Mr. Cotton is, I got something for you. I got something for the next Mr. Cotton.
You know, listen, at the end of the day, you're not going into this to help to do all these things. Mm-hmm. You just hope for the best, but you know.
Right.
What's the other left side? Hope for the best, but expect the worst, whatever it is.
Right.
The same.
Okay, so let's shift gears. Now, let's talk, because I know you just got married as well. So let's just say I find the next Mr. Cotton. And so I'm like, okay, you know what? But I want to make sure I'm prepared. Now, everyone thinks prenup is the way to prepare to go into a marriage. But there are other ways for me to protect myself and prepare in going into a marriage other than a prenup agreement, correct?
Correct. So when it comes to that, of course, prenup, but you know, depending how the prenup is draft, it may stand within the courts, it may not. It just really depends. And people that do have prenups, I always encourage them to update their prenups because things change. 10 years, you're not gonna be the same person. So as far as protecting yourself, I mean, if you call it protection, I think just being aware is the best word for it. Not necessarily protection, but let's say you have separate assets. You worked your butt off, you have your business, you have all those things, okay? When you go into it, if let's say you have a rental property or you have something that you brought into the marriage and you want to keep it separate, you need to keep those funds only in that bank account that's under your name only and only your name. So let's say, for example, you have a rental property, you go into a marriage, you need to keep the funds that come from that rental property only in your bank account. As soon as you commingle and put that money into the joint account, you just turn that property into a community property versus separate. So that's what they look at. And in Texas, we are a community property Texas. We are one of 8 states. Everybody else divides everything like as fair and equitable, but ours is 50-50. Anything that is done during the marriage till the end of the marriage, it doesn't matter whose name's in it, it's split 50-50. So if you're trying to keep any kind of separate property in your name, you got to keep it all in your name. Do not commingle those funds.
Interesting. So no state taxes, but we're 1 in 8 that's 50-50. You think you're doing something right? 1 positive, 2 negatives. Oh, my goodness.
You know, sometimes these are things that you don't know until you go. I mean, nobody's going into a marriage thinking, how can I just be ready just in case this falls apart? You're not.
No, you're in love. You're blind.
Exactly. I mean, yes, you're blindly in love.
Okay, got it. Okay, that's very good. Oh, I'm making mental notes, Terry, because you know, one day I'm gonna commit again. One day, I don't know when.
I'm taking you.
I don't know. We'll see. next episode. So, so let me ask you this. Let's go into something else because you're also doing, that's all the free advice you guys are getting. You need to follow Terry or use her, get her website and go and use her as your financial planner. But let's go into the fashionista, Terry, because that's something now that you're very passionate about. I love whenever you have the your content. You're, I guess you're like a content creator. You're doing all the fashion. You are, Terry. I love it. You inspire me because I'm like, oh, I have some pants like that. I could have just added that or the little things. Or so tell us about how you decided that fashion was something that you were very passionate about and also how you started saying, let me share this with people and kind of do more of this content creation as a fashionista.
Thank you. So fashion was something that my mom was into. She was so into fashion growing up too. When I would watch her get dressed. And so during like middle school, maybe even high school, I would steal her clothes and just based off of how she wore it, I would wear those clothes too. And then over time, it was just something that like, I don't know, it just naturally came to me. Is that even possible? Just naturally came to me where it was a way to express myself. And when I say express myself, so I'm first generation Asian American. And a lot of times the misconception is, you know, hey, you're Asian, you're first generation, you need to be a little bit more reserved and be a little bit more passive. Don't dress too like flamboyant and be out there. And it was just something that that was not me. That was not my mold. I always wanted to be different. I wanted to be able to express myself. So, you know, I would wear clothes and I would get compliments all the time. Like, Terry, what did you do? You just took that shirt and just put that accessory on. That's all you did. So that's what kind of led to just me showcasing more of that side. Because I think if you think about social media, people are attracted to shiny things. So that was the attraction that brought people to the page. And then the knowledge, I've used that to attract people. And then I would just educate financial literacy. So I'll sprinkle that into as well. Because, you know, sometimes that gets boring. So I got to somehow make it lively because I think it's important. That's something, like I said before, I'm a huge advocate for.
Yes, I love. And I love the trick. Like you when I used to do workout videos before, like when I started my whole Instagram platform, we're talking like 4 years ago, I used to do nothing but workout stuff. And I said, I know people are tired of watching me work out, but then there were so many people, so many women that love the workouts. Hey, when you're going to do another workout? But then it's like, I don't want it to all be that. So I would always try to start my reel with something funny or something cute. And then I'm like, okay, now that I got you, let's show you this workout. So I love that. I love that. Oh, I love her earrings or accessories. Right. Now let me tell you what to do if you're in a divorce.
That's actually right. I need to work with you. You said you do a lot for, I saw that. I saw all those videos. I was like, man, can we just like share whatever you're good at and I share what I'm good at and just trade?
Yes, that's a collaboration. People
get collaboration.
Good. I love that. And speaking of collaboration, I know that you also have a lot to do in Houston as far as a community event. We actually met at an event in the community. So give us some insight because I know you're part of some groups and some women groups and things that are, or some women groups that are doing things in the community. So tell us about the community give back, Terry, as well.
So first of all, the financial literacy, like I can't emphasize that enough. I've repeated over time, but my thing is to go and educate others at different places, whatever it is, just about their finances. I've done lectures with HCA. I've done lectures for companies, things like that, just to kind of educate them on the financial literacy. I just want to get back on that because I feel like it's so lacking and I feel like women need it. I don't know why. I just feel like women need it and they need to have access to easy access where it's under, you can understand it. You don't need to use the industry jargon to get your point across. So with that, I volunteer for the Women's Resource before in the past to kind of help them. They're an organization where if you've been through like a batter situation and you're just trying to look for help to get out of it and just start over, Women Resource is a great place to go. They provide financial literacy. They help you get you back on your feet. That's one organization. I've also done, you know, with the fashion side, I've joined Dress for Success. So on my spare time, I like to go and help women. It's not like women that come through that are starting over or just starting in the business industry. So they just want to look nice. Maybe they don't have the funds for it. Maybe they don't know what to wear, but we just dress them so that way they can go to their interview feeling very confident, because I think confident is a key too. I've also done Rotary Downtown. And my own organization is Join Societe. It's Societe, the Connection Scene. I started that back in 2020 as a platform to spotlight businesses, local businesses. Hey, you have a small business. How can we get you in front of more people so that way your business can thrive? I started that for a little bit, but kind of held off. And those are mostly the organizations that I get involved. And then, of course, my friends. My friends are just immersed in that world. So wherever I can contribute, I contribute.
I love that. I have a huge heart too. So I love anything I can give back. And I love anytime I talk to someone, it's like, I feel like it, to me, it's like an encounter. What did I leave with you? How are you going to remember me? Did you, and I want everyone to have the same representation of Holly Guyton. So whatever the story is, you're going to have the same experience of me. Oh yeah, that is her. Yeah, that is her. You know, it's not like I have different levels. You're going to get the same.
I love that. That's called realness.
That part. Realness. Yes. Yeah. In amongst all the filters and the fakeness. So we're going to be the difference. We're the change, Terry. We're the change.
That's right.
Last question that I have for you is, I want to, just for single women, whether it be a single mom or a single ton, like you just never even had kids and you're just single by yourself. But a lot of times I hear from women, I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to pay bills. I don't have time to think about financial literacy. I can't invest. I barely can pay the bills. I'm doing it by myself. So for those women that feel like financial literacy and planning ahead has nothing to do with them, give me some advice coming to you as a woman, and I'm saying that to you right now.
So the advice that I would give someone like that, and I have an cash flow sheet. I think, you know, yes, you don't have time for that because you're just, you know, making ends meet, but are you living below your means? That's the first thing. That's the first thing I always ask, because, you know, I have clients like that too. I have clients that make $500,000 to $1 million and they live paycheck to paycheck. To people that don't make anything and they have way much more money. So it's really just mindset. Are you living below your means? So, and that's where I can send you, if someone asks you, I can send you a cash flow sheet. Go in and look at all your expenses, your fixed expenses. What does that look like? What do I need to know what's going out of my bank account every month, and what is it accounted for? And then from there, this money that's left over, okay, go through your bank statements. Go through, at least spend one night with a bottle of wine and go through your bank statements. Have a red highlighter, have a yellow highlighter, and a green highlighter. Your green highlighter should be everything that's fixed that you have to pay every month. And then your yellow is the variables, maybe groceries a little higher this month, whatever it is, highlight those. Everything else that is not for those categories, highlight red. I promise, I can guarantee it, that you will find money. Because we don't realize money's in our bank account. We see it. We're not allocating and telling it where to go. We're just spending it. I mean, if I have money and it's endless, yeah, I'll just spend it, but it's not endless. So that's what I would recommend. And then whatever you can, just get in the habit of saving. Even if it's $50, maybe it's $20, just get in the habit of it. And a lot of times people like to kind of spend and then save. No, you need to take that money out first. Take the money you're wanting to save for yourself out first, and then whatever's left that you allocate for your bills, the rest is yours. You could do whatever you want. And I think a lot of times people are so caught up in like, well, this person this. Well, I'll just run by Starbucks because, you know, I don't have time to make a cup of coffee at home. But that's $5 versus like a whole package. I tell this to my husband. You can get a whole thing of, coffee for like $8. So, you know, it just depends how bad you want it.
Well, I don't drink coffee, but I always argue with my daughter as well, because she's always, I'm like, listen, I like experiences, okay? So for me, if Starbucks was my thing, I'm going for the experience. I'm going to go in the Starbucks. I don't want to look at my ugly coffee maker. I want to go for this. My negative trait is always I want the experience for everything. I'm like, when I go on vacation, I want the experience. When I go eat, I want the experience. I don't know why.
You can have that. People think budget is such an ugly word, but it's not. It's telling your money where to go. You can budget that. You can say, okay, this month, I like to do these things. This is what I have left. This is what I want to use towards that. And that's it. And if some months you can't do it, or if some months, let's say you don't go through all those funds for that experience and you have leftover, guess what? That don't mean you spend it on the next experience. You move it on over to the, until you have the other budget and you grow it.
Right. I know. I'm good at that because I'm very frugal. So, but when I have the experience, but it's so funny. I just told that to my girlfriend because she wanted to buy a car. She wants to go to an electric car because she wants to save money on gas and this and all of this stuff, right? And I said, and how are you going to know? Like, what are you going to do? So if you're saying you're saving $200 a month, now you can't take that and go spend it on something else. Like, you have to take that and go put it somewhere.
That's it. That's what it is. And I think people, like, I don't know. It's something like, that's the other side of me that I'm trying to learn more. It's the psychology of money. Because I think a lot of times, you know, people take in how they were raised growing up and they carry those same habits as they get older and then it passes on to their kids and so forth. So that's psychology. Like, why do some people think, okay, well, I'm saving here, but then I go on a sale and buy some clothes or whatever with it, but everything was on sale. You see what I mean? You're not saving. You just went in a hamster wheel over and over and over again.
Yeah. And I know for me, like when I first started, I guess, getting to a successful state, I was like, I knew when I was with him and when I was married, I feel like I didn't have the right partner. So we never could get ahead. And I grew up really, really poor. So when I started making my own money, being by myself, I spent so much unnecessary money because I felt like it was my way of like proving that I made it, or you know, I'm not that wife anymore that was in that situation, or I'm not that poor person from, you know, home of Louisiana. I went through a little, but I'm good now. I'm good. But I did go through.
But that's normal. I hear that story all the time, and you're allowed to. If you're making money and you got to the point where you can enjoy it. But you better have a cutoff date, sis. Cut it off. You enjoy it for temporary, but you better cut it off because guess what? We're not getting younger. So just because what we could do today may not be things that we could do in the future. So we have to save, or at least have your money work for you and invest it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I connected with someone and I was like, oh, so I...
It wasn't me.
No, but now you're on the I'm like, not me about to switch to Terry to get my life together in 2024.
But I'm happy just to hear that you're doing. That's the big thing. That's the big takeaway.
Thank you. Yeah, this was a couple of years ago. And then I was like, okay, let me start doing this. But I think, you know, there was like a shift right before, I guess, COVID maybe, where Instagram actually people started using it and they started being able to do stuff and they were actually legit business people. And now anybody can get on and they're like, hey, let me tell you how to save money. And they just steal all of Terry's stuff, or, you know, they.
And then the verify stamp, that's all you need.
We're going to digress here. Okay, yeah. So for anyone that wants to follow, like, and support you, go ahead, give us your social media tags, website information, and then also reiterate the services that you do provide for anyone that's listening.
So again, thank you so much, Holly. I am a CDFA, so I work with individuals who are going through divorce. I work alongside you and your attorney on all your financial matters just to know that you are getting a fair and equitable division in your marital assets. That's one part. The second part is I also work with you after divorce, or if you're not even going to divorce at all, I work with you to help you put a plan together so that way you're able to retire at the age you want to retire. How do we make your money grow and work for you? Because you have a finite amount of time. And then just any kind of investment, like Holly's already done too, invest in just, and the biggest thing is just empowering you with education. I don't want to just sit there and take you through the process and be like, well, you need to do it like this and you should invest here. I want to educate you on why we're taking this route. Why are we choosing this vehicle? And if you want to know more, you can reach me at Terry. My IG handle is Terry, T-E-R-R-I underscore Ho, H-O, short and easy. I'm not related to any of the House of Hoes. and then you, my website is just Terry, T-E-R-R-I-T-H-O. So terryteho.com. Simple. And you can actually get a, you can go in there and look at my calendar and schedule a consultation.
I love that. And I will also have clickable links in the podcast notes for you guys who are driving or trying or listening to the audio. Just scroll down, quit being lazy, scroll down to the podcast notes, and I'll actually have clickable links as well in there. So thank you so much again, Terry, for sharing all that information. I know I definitely got a lot of valuable information from what you said. I'm definitely going to implement some of those things that you recommended as well. So thank you so much for your time.
Of course. Thank you for having me. And Holly, if no one's giving you a compliment for what you do, seriously, you should be proud. Just going here and just like bringing these people on, it's not easy. Finding the people, finding the sources, sharing your resources. This is exactly, I mean, thank you for that. Thank you for using your platform that way.